Chapter 22. Where? Apostrophe apostrophe rejoined Kit, looking round. Do you mean to say you don't know where? Apostrophe apostrophe answered Quilp sharply. Where have they gone, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't know, apostrophe said Kit. Come, apostrophe retorted Quilp, let's have no more of this. Do you mean to say that you don't know they went away by stealth, as soon as it was light this morning? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, apostrophe said the boy, in evident surprise. You don't know that? Apostrophe apostrophe cried Quilp. Don't I know that you were hanging about the house the other night, like a thief, eh? Weren't you told then? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, apostrophe replied the boy. You were not? Apostrophe apostrophe said Quilp. What were you told then? What were you talking about? Apostrophe apostrophe, Kit, who knew no particular reason why he should keep the matter secret now, related the purpose for which he had come on that occasion, and the proposal he had made. Oh! Apostrophe apostrophe said the dwarf after a little consideration. Then, I think they'll come to you yet. Apostrophe, do you think they will? Apostrophe apostrophe cried Kit eagerly. I think they will, apostrophe returned the dwarf. Now, when they do, let me know, do you hear? Let me know, and I'll give you something. I want to do them a kindness, and I can't do them a kindness, unless I know where they are. You hear what I say? Apostrophe, Kit might have returned some answer which would not have been agreeable to his irascible questioner, if the boy from the wharf, who had been skulking about the room in search of anything that might have been left about by accident, had not happened to cry, "Here's a bird. What's to be done with this?" Apostrophe, wring its neck, apostrophe rejoined Quilp. "Oh no, don't do that," apostrophe said Kit, stepping forward. "Give it to me." Apostrophe, "Oh yes, I dare say," apostrophe cried the other boy. "Come. You let the cage alone, and let me wring its neck, will you?" He said I was to do it. "You let the cage alone, will you?" Apostrophe, "Give it here, give it to me, you dogs," apostrophe roared Quilp. "Fight for it, you dogs, or I'll wring its neck myself." Apostrophe apostrophe, without further persuasion, the two boys fell upon each other, tooth and nail, while Quilp, holding up the cage in one hand, and chopping the ground with his knife in an ecstasy, urged them on by his taunts and cries to fight more fiercely. They were a pretty equal match, and rolled about together, exchanging blows which were by no means child's play, until at length Kit, planting a well-directed hit in his adversary's chest, disengaged himself, sprung nimbly up, and snatching the cage from Quilp's hands made off with his prize. He did not stop once until he reached home, where his bleeding face occasioned great consternation, and caused the elder child to howl dreadfully. "Goodness gracious, Kit, what is the matter, what have you been doing?" Apostrophe apostrophe cried Mrs. Nubbles. "Never you mind, mother," apostrophe answered her son, wiping his face on the jack towel behind the door. "I'm not hurt, don't you be afraid for me. I've been a fightin' for a bird and won him, that's all. Hold your noise, little Jacob. I never see such a naughty boy in all my days." Apostrophe apostrophe, "You have been fighting for a bird." Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed his mother. "Ah! Fightin' for a bird," apostrophe replied Kit, "and here he is Miss Nellie's bird, mother, that they was a-goin' to wring the neck of. I stopped that, though, ha ha ha. They wouldn't wring his neck and me by, no, no. It wouldn't do, mother, it wouldn't do at all. Ha ha ha." Apostrophe apostrophe, Kit laughing so heartily, with his swollen and bruised face looking out of the towel, made little Jacob laugh, and then his mother laughed. And then the baby crowed and kicked with great glee, and then they all laughed in concert, partly because of Kit's triumph, and partly because they were very fond of each other. When this fit was over, Kit Pitt exhibited the bird to both children, as a great and precious rarity. It was only a poor linnet, and looking about the wall for an old nail, made a scaffolding of a chair and table, and twisted it out with great exultation. "Let me see," said the boy, "I think I'll hang him in the winder, because it's more light and cheerful, and he can see the sky there, if he looks up very much. He's such a one to sing, I can tell you." So, the scaffolding was made again, and Kit, climbing up with the poker for a hammer, knocked in the nail and hung up the cage, to the immeasurable delight of the whole family. When it had been adjusted, and straightened a great many times, and he had walked backwards into the fireplace in his admiration of it, the arrangement was pronounced to be perfect. "And now, mother," said the boy, "before I rest any more, I'll go out, and see if I can find a horse to hold, and then I can buy some birdseed, and a bit of something nice for you, into the bargain." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.